December 25, 7:46 a.m., Fairvale, California. Jack woke up, stretched, and reached for Teddy. "Merry Christmas, Bear." He was surprised to find Teddy was nowhere to be found. He searched under his blanket and then jumped out of bed and looked beneath it. He hunted for him on the floor, on the desk, and behind the computer. He took the briefest moment to admire the growth of the bean plant.
It was nearly a foot tall now.
And then he took it from the bedside table. He leaned the table forward to see if Teddy had somehow fallen behind it. His bear wasn't there.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, or good night, whatever time of dimension that you are in. This is your host, Chris. Welcome to Interstellar Frequency.
Nat King Cole was singing about chestnuts roasting on an open fire while the 8-foot Christmas tree glittered with tinsel and ornaments in the living room. Wrapped presents were underneath the tree. It was a Norman Rockwell Christmas scene when Jack came running down the stairs. He was not happy.
"Have you seen Teddy?"
he shouted when he came into the living room. Marion got up from the couch to kneel in front of Jack. "He's not in your room," she smiled knowingly at Martin.
"He's nowhere upstairs, and he can't operate down here. I thought he might have fallen down the stairs, lost his contact with our Bluetooth, and been unable to get back upstairs."
"That's logical thinking," said Martin, lighting his pipe. "It doesn't seem likely, though, since I don't see him at the bottom of the steps. Do you?" Jack looked under the staircase, and he became more concerned still.
"What could have happened to him?"
"Maybe Santa Claus took him back to the North Pole to work on him," said Martin thoughtfully. He puffed his pipe. "Had you considered that possibility?" Jack rolled his eyes.
"Father, Santa doesn't exist. We've been through this."
"If you had asked me 3 weeks ago," said Marion, sitting beneath the tree, "I would have told you that walking, talking teddy bears don't exist either. I would have been wrong, though, wouldn't I?"
"Teddy's existence doesn't violate the laws of physics, Mother. He's just an extension of what we could already do. He's a simple step forward."
"If I don't find him, what will happen to him?"
Tears began to form in Jack's eyes.
"Well, why don't we open some presents?" said Jack's father. "And we'll deal with the teddy problem later."
How am I supposed to think about presents when Teddy could be in mortal danger?
I don't think someone who isn't actually alive can be in mortal danger. Do you? Martin looked at his son seriously.
How do you know he's not alive? He does nearly everything living things do.
Living things all share what traits? Martin asked. You know this one.
He grows and develops. That's what his AI is all about. He reproduces his traits. That's how he got you out of doing all that work. He can respond to stimuli. He answers nearly every question asked of him. He can adapt to his environment. He uses energy. That's why I charge him every week. He evolves, just not through natural selection.
He doesn't breathe. He doesn't ingest food. He doesn't create waste.
You sort of left those out, didn't you? Not every form of life does those things, Father. For example, some bacteria can obtain energy through the process of chemosynthesis, using inorganic compounds as a source of energy rather than sunlight. Some organisms, such as plants, can produce their own food through photosynthesis, using energy from the sun to convert water and carbon dioxide into glucose.
He still doesn't breathe, though, does he?
Life can exist without oxygen. Some microorganisms, such as certain types of bacteria and archaea, can survive and carry out their metabolic processes in the absence of oxygen. These organisms are known as anaerobes, and they can obtain energy through processes other than cellular respiration, such as fermentation or chemosynthesis.
So you think Teddy is alive? Asked Marion.
He's just a different form of life, Mother. He does everything living things do. And right now, if he's still on, he has to be scared. We have to find him.
Martin picked up a present from under the tree.
This one is marked "To Jack from Santa." I wonder what it is.
Jack looked at his father suspiciously. He took the present and ripped the wrapping paper ingloriously from it. He opened the box and saw Teddy sitting inside.
You scared me half to death, Father.
It wasn't your father, Jack. Don't you remember what you told me you were dreaming of for Christmas?
Children all over the world getting a living teddy bear. We're not that far along, and Teddy can only live upstairs.
Turn him on, smart guy, said Martin.
Jack frowned and pressed Teddy's nose. The stuffed bear stretched, stood up, and hugged Jack.
Merry Christmas, Jack.
Tears began to well up in Jack's eyes. He looked at his parents. How did you?
I think you said you wanted more Bluetooth for Christmas.
Teddy can work anywhere in the house now and for quite a distance in the yard.
Martin was grinning.
Jack hugged Martin and Marion together. This is the best Christmas ever.
And that's when the pounding on the door came. They heard someone outside shout, FBI, before the door was kicked open. Marion screamed and leapt on top of Jack. Martin dropped his pipe and got to his feet.
What the hell?
Everyone stay right where you are,
said the large, well-dressed man, pointing a gun at Martin.
Martin Zephyr, you're under arrest for unauthorized computer access under 18 U.S.C. 1030.
He moved to Martin quickly while the other two agents began searching the house.
We're executing a search warrant. I need you to get on the ground, on your stomach, and put your hands behind your back.
Marion was shaking and holding Jack tight, his head pressed to her chest so he couldn't see what was happening. She heard the agent handcuffing Martin and reading him his Miranda rights. Her eyes were closed and tears started to slip down her cheek. She heard the sounds of feet coming down the stairs.
Did you get all the computers?
There are only two, one in the office and the other in the kids' room.
Marion didn't see Teddy crawling out from beneath Jack, who was rocking back and forth in his mother's arms. She heard his voice, though.
Excuse me, gentlemen. It wasn't Mr. Zephyr.
Marion opened her eyes now and saw Teddy standing in front of the agents, his paws above his head.
It was me.
Back again, obviously. This is something to think about, or at least it's crossing through my mind, really. Amazingly enough that we need Wi-Fi in our lives and we're addicted to Wi-Fi today and anything of accessing the internet to have capability of internet. And for the longest time, for a good 6, 7, 8 months or something like that, I didn't have any connectivity with a phone or anything in it except for Wi-Fi whenever I was somewhere close by Wi-Fi, and then I was able to get on the internet. And holy crap, what a peace of mind that was to be isolated away from the connectivity of the world, you know? And I was pretty much in my own world at that moment in time without any connectivity. And it wasn't bad or anything. A lot of people were angry because they couldn't get a hold of me or they were having a hard time getting a hold of me. And at the same time, like, it was very peaceful. And today it's like the kiddos, they turn around and they all they want to do is get on the computer and they want to watch like little 30 minute. Are you kidding me? Their attention span is less than 2 seconds and all they can handle is 2 seconds of attention time before they're scrolling onto the next video. And they'll do that. And I find myself like that too, where all of a sudden I'll watch one video, that video will lead onto the next video. And then I'll just go down this rabbit hole of videos of watching one video to the next. Before I know it, it's about 3 hours went by and I went, holy crap, I was going to do stuff today. And now the day's gone because I'm sitting here on YouTube watching videos. Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with that. On the other hand, it's designed a system where we are sucked into it and we have to get our YouTube fix or something, right? And the human connection outside of the internet is getting less and less and more, through the internet. And there's, I have some thoughts on that. There, to me, there's nothing wrong with the internet or anything like that. And depending on what you're looking at, could, you know, change your opinion that the internet's all bad. On the other hand, it's really a great thing because then I'm able to do what I'm doing now and send out an episode that goes across the cosmos, or at least not yet, but soon. And it's in the database mainframe, and then everybody can see it or hear it or watch it or whatever they choose to do so. Now, call me selfish. Call me whatever the hell you want to call me. I really enjoy actually interacting and talking with somebody, whether over the phone or something like that, or in person, because there's a lot of information that our brains are picking up when we interact with each other. You know, there's a lot of telltale signs and stuff. When you send a text message out, you can't exactly tell in the wording of what you're reading whether or not the individual that you're talking to is sad, angry, upset, nervous, frustrated. You have no knowledge of any of those key moments in time. And turning around and being able to speak with someone physically, like over the phone, you're able to gauge, or at least I am, I don't know about anybody else, I'm able to gauge if they're upset or sad or angry or whatever it is, which are key important information. You know, like, if you're talking to someone over the phone and you kind of want to talk about something that's going on in your life, and you're kind of a little bit down and out and you're trying to figure out where to go, but the person that you're getting ready to talk to about this is already down and out in their life, for example, it might not be a good idea to talk about your situation with that individual at that moment in time. You know, it would be better to kind of hear them out, what's going on with their life, and they can get a perspective through your eyes and whatever, and then go back to circling around talking about your stuff. Which is why there's people that sit in offices all day and they make hundreds and hundreds of dollars listening to them person talk, and they go, yes, go on. How does that make you feel? It makes you like, really? I could do that with my friends. I mean, I don't need to pay somebody to do that, but okay, whatever. Yeah, it's interesting how the kiddos, they're locked into technology and they're not really building forts. They're not really, you know, their jive of coolness is sitting there watching someone else build a fort. And it's like, okay. Yeah, okay, maybe they're learning from it, and maybe they're learning to build forts, and they do, you know, here and there. Sometimes it's a little bit of a chaotic mess. Other times it's not so bad. And nothing wrong with that. But on the other hand, it's the, hey, you need to go clean up your room. Hey, you need to do this in order to watch YouTube. You need to, whatever, do your chores. And then that's when the attitude hits. Like, no, I don't want to. And it's like, oh, yes, you do. You need to. And then you can go back to watching YouTube. Because as a child, you don't realize that the quicker that you can get something done, the faster you can go back to playing again. And then you kind of start to figure that out when you get in junior high and stuff, and you realize, oh, yeah, if I do this real quick, then I have the rest of the time to do whatever I want. And nobody really tells you that. Nobody ever really mentions it to you or teaches you that in an early age. Right now, if anybody does teach you that in an early age, congratulations. I'm glad you learned that. I didn't learn it really that until a little bit later. Right now I've got the minions are over with Grandpa at his house having a blast. I don't know, riding bicycles. Who knows? I mean, he's just, you know, having all kinds of fun with them. And that's awesome. So that gives me a moment in time to sit down quietly. The wife is out shopping. And I'm quietly recording because it's very, very difficult to try to record. And it's not like it's a bad thing or anything like that, but damn, it really gets annoying when you're trying to produce something and try to do a recording and then you've got excess ambient noise in the background. It's like, oh my God, no. But that's okay. I'm making it through. You know, at the same time, I'm kind of jealous of the kiddos because their world of technology is like way more advanced than it was when I was a kid. Because I was running like Windows, you know, NT and, you know, 3.1 and Windows 95 and 98, and Mac and all that stuff. And then now, today, these kiddos are like popping on freaking Google Chrome from school because they, you know, everything's digital now. God forbid we use paper anymore. And it's like, oh, wow, way different. Totally different genre. And that's fine, but wow, I mean, it's like going, to me, it's like experiencing school all over again, this time with a technology upgrade, you know, because it's been like well over 20-something years since I was in school myself. And these guys are having homework on Google Classroom. And it's like, where's your homework at? It's on the computer. What? What are you talking about? No, it's on the computer. It's right there. I mean, okay, cool. That's different for sure. You know, nowadays I guess they'll be using their fingers to type instead of writing anymore. And I can, you know, agree with that. I'd rather type than write, honestly, but I mean, that came in due time when I finally did that. And today it's like my kid Corbin, he wants a VR really bad. And me being dad, it's like, yeah, I want a VR too. That'd be fun. One, I've never had one. Two, there's so much different things that you're able to do with the VR, and I'm just not so sure if that would be a good thing to get a little 5-year-old or 6-year-old, however old he is now, 7, I guess. He's not ready for that. At least I feel he's not ready for that. Not yet. You know, responsibility for me, I'd rather have him show responsibility of taking care of his stuff and not breaking his stuff. And we've still got a ways to go, and then maybe he can get a VR. I just can't justify dropping, you know, $400 or $500 on a headset that he's going to end up fighting with his siblings over. And then somehow it's going to get broken or something like that. Yeah. It's a little bit different, you know. There ain't nothing like playing a video game, for those of you that remember the days of playing a video game, and getting lost into it. Especially some of the advanced video games that came out were, you know, MMOs, RPGs, and stuff like that, where it was a role-playing game, and everybody would need it in some form or fashion. And a whole entire society was built off of, you know, interlinking computers together and playing in this virtual reality world. And you would lose yourself in that, which was really quite nice, because you'd be able to step out of away from your world of where you're at and step into a virtual one. And that's kind of beautiful to do every now and then, kind of get away from the society norms of everything that's going on around the world. this, that, and everything like that, with all the news and everything. And it's nice to do that, because it kind of just takes a break and gives your mind a moment to rest, versus, you know, keeping up with the Joneses of what's going on. And some people like that. They like keeping up with the Joneses, and they really like being on top of what's happening in the world. And what can I do about it? There's nothing I can really do about it. And the only thing I could do is right here, this moment in time, and control the moments that I have. And by realizing that, I'm very powerful in my moment of my time, because I have the choice of choosing whatever it is I'm doing at that moment in time. Now, the story here is such a development that it's scary, because it's a lot like what is kind of happening today. I don't know yet if there is an AI that's going to kick on and, you know, take over like that, but this is going to be interesting. But this is what you have on your next week.
So, did the teddy bear ask you to do anything to harm yourself or others? Special Agent Malcolm Zimblist glared at Donna Northside, the attractive young psychologist sitting behind her desk. Look, you need to understand this was not a hallucination. I'm telling you what actually happened. He crawled out from the wife's arms, put his paws in the air, and told us he was the hacker. You're a highly trained and intelligent man, Malcolm. You have to understand why no one is going to believe you. Special Agent Shapiro saw the same thing I did. Are you telling me we're both hallucinating the exact same thing? But Special Agent Reynolds didn't see this. Special Agent Reynolds was loading the computers in the car, and he didn't see the teddy bear. What was it he did when you arrested Zephyr? He followed you into the yard?
Exactly.
But all Special Agent Reynolds reported seeing was a teddy bear lying on the grass.
I know. I don't understand what happened.
Oh my God. This is so gonna kick off. This following coming week, you guys are going to really be enticed with it. If so far, you guys keep listening to it, so it's like, okay, cool. And everybody keeps coming back and listening to it. It's like, yes, there's more people. So I don't know who across the world is listening to it, but hell, I hope you guys are enjoying it. Yeah, because it's really kicking off pretty damn fast, and it's just going to go to light speed real quick in the next couple episodes. So much information, so much stuff's going to happen. Like I did before, I'm going to go ahead and link the show notes in the episode same way, so that way you guys could actually read it, read along with it, and follow along. Also, I will leave, you know, the donation page there too. I hate doing that. I hate asking for it. And pop on Patreon if you guys want to help. That's one way to do it. Much appreciated. It helps keep the show going and keep it running and stuff. I got bills to pay for this thing to keep it up and live and running. So I plan to get that taken care of in the next couple months, because it's coming due. So there you go. Until next time.
This is Interstellar Frequency. End of transmission.
Stereo Stargazer.